It's the Wynonna Earp After Show. We're undoing it and doing it and doing it well. That's right. It's time for Wynonna Earp. Yeah!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome. Welcome.
I was like, wait. Oh, there it
is. I'm going to keep saying hello until you can hear me. Yay. It's time for Wynonna Earp. If you haven't already, go to YouTube, search for AfterBuzz TV's Sci-Fi Fantasy Superhero Channel. That's where we live. We're Sci-Fi Superhero Fantasy, all of those words. I'm Yael Teagle, joined by my panel. Hello, ladies.
What's up? Carrie Lane here, live in the chat. Thank you for everybody who's joining us already. If you're a little late to the party, no problem. Comment down below.
Hey, guys. My name is Amber Plaster. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster.
I know I'm supposed to start the show, but I'm just enjoying the song.
Yeah, we're just jamming. It's all good.
All right, let's talk Wynonna Earp, Season 3, Episode 9. Undo it! And doing it well. I don't know why that's in my head.
I don't know why it's not in your head. It was a great opening.
What did you think of this episode in general? Because we'll get to the opening.
I think this episode in general requires a rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of details. There was a lot of rebirths, if you will, that I think would be really, really fun to rewatch.
I agree.
Oh, I thought it was very interesting. I mentioned to her a particular movie that reminds me of, and it's not Groundhog's Day. It's Deaths of Ian Stone, and he just keeps getting murdered every day. So I'm like, hey, it's a similar vibe, and it's very frustrating when he wakes up.
Interesting.
Yes. I enjoyed it, though, like the repeat. Yeah. It was interesting. There are moments where I'm disappointed in some characters, but that's okay.
I felt like this episode reminded me of the episode where they wake up and everyone's mm-hmm. asleep or dead or gone. Or, you know, remember that episode where she's pregnant? She's like real low pregno.
It was like the time change thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was creepy, but in a different way. I have to say the difference for that episode and this one, if the viewers can remember that episode, it was really like old German fairy tale creepy. And this episode was like my heart was racing.
Oh.
Like, I felt like the stakes kept getting raised, almost like a Scott Pilgrim versus the Universe, almost like a video game movie. Hmm. Like, it almost had the pace of a game.
Yeah.
Well, she mentions it's a game.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yes. I felt like it was that episode plus a game. And I definitely, I think it was interesting that it felt very video gamey. In that, like, I don't see her as a gamer. I don't see Bulshar as understanding what games are. In that, like, it felt like level one. Yeah, it was like, it felt like level one. This is what you have to do. Yeah. Level two. And then you get to the big boss. And I was waiting.
I don't know if that's what they meant to do, but they pulled it off in a way that where a show that's not about games at all
right.
became a video game episode. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about a video game. It was just a really beautifully directed creative choice, this episode.
Absolutely. Before we get into the game, let's talk about the ring and what's going on with that.
Oh, you mean Julian's ring?
Yes. Both of you. Yes to both of you.
that ring?
So the opening scene, I hear, has been considered controversial by some. I think the opening scene was very clearly a joke. It felt very clearly like, it sounds like we're having sex, therefore we're clearly not. Because they spoke more graphically than they do when they're making love.
Yes.
I agree. And also, it's a cold open. So, it's cold opens are almost always twists. Like, every time they're
good
a twist.
Point.
So,
It's done in a comedic way, because this has happened with gay couples, straight couples, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people are talking about it on Twitter, and somebody pointed out, well, they do that with straight couples, too. And yeah, it just felt too cheesy, and it didn't feel like their kind of sex that we have
right,
seen.
Exactly. It felt very clearly, we are doing comedy here. But also, because we know that the ring wasn't coming off, you know?
And that also kind of goes with our joke that we're like, well, that shows where your mind went when you thought that first, too.
Yes. So if my mind didn't go there, that tells you it's clearly not sex. But just to address real quick the term of queerbaiting, I would say that sometimes people feel that they're being queerbaited and they're being fanbaited. And I think that the Way Hot fandom...
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
So the concern for the cold open that you saw on Twitter was what?
I was the one who mentioned that. I'm trying to recall, because the problem is I was seeing it out of context because I hadn't seen the episode. But what I saw were some people, somebody was making a point like, let's stop calling it queerbaiting. Like, that's not what this is in this situation, I guess. So that means some people did. And then other people were talking about the Way Hot fandom and what direction it is. And then if they're doing it differently on the show and stuff like that, then I'm like, okay, what is everyone talking about?
Okay, so I the just concern know a lot was the cold upset. Open had queer baiting in it.
Yes.
And okay, now and, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. Thank you for catching me up.
Absolutely. and I would say that I don't know that this was specifically queer baiting, when I think that mostly what happens is fan baiting. And yes, I would say that there's a lot of fan baiting that is geared towards the queer community. Absolutely. But I think that this is them going, everyone loves Way Hot scenes, this would be funny.
Yeah. And I apologize if I'm miscoying anybody from Twitter. I just remember I was seeing all this stuff on Twitter before I'd watched the episode. And so I was like, let's talk about this briefly.
So I would say that that's that. Let's talk about the ring. So we find out, I'm just going to mix and match this ring conversation. We find out it's Julian's ring. At least that's what Bobo says.
Has Bobo ever lied to Waverly?
Fine, but...
Says Bobo's number one fan. I'm over here like, what'd you say about him? What'd you say about my man?
But I think that Bobo... yes, we could trust him, but still, we shouldn't trust him. I think that he's telling the truth, but I
we
don't...
We can trust him in that we always know where his interests lie.
Yeah.
We cannot trust him to be loyal. We can trust him to be predictable.
Okay.
Yes. I don't think he's lying about it.
I don't either. We can't keep taking everything that everyone says at face value.
Oh, yeah. That was something in this episode that annoyed us. That we're like, oh, wait, you know this other stuff's fake and you're still going to go, oh, this is true. Pretty sure you've proved things weren't true, but...
But Bobo does say that the ring found you, and I will give props again to Amber, who I believe called that the ring was coming back to Waverly, not necessarily... to Nicole.
Well, I would like to give props back to the live chat then, because that's where I got that theory.
Great. So you're all smarter than me. You're welcome.
Angeline in the chat makes an interesting theory. Here's my theory, even though I have no evidence to back it up, but I think Bobo and Julian are brothers / related in some way.
Love it.
I like that one. That's a cool
thought. Because she's kin.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then it makes sense he's like this loving uncle or cousin or something. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I love that theory.
So the ring is stuck on her finger, and we get a jeweler who turns out to be a revenant.
Of course. Because it's still purgatory. Right. We can't forget season one. We got to sprinkle him in.
I really liked that he was a revenant. I think that really added to...
The ring guy?
Yeah.
I'm so not surprised. I'm like, he's being really weird. He's not a normal person. Ah, yes. Okay.
No, he was definitely weird. I was like, what a weird guy. But then they were like, he's a revenant. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I like it. Yeah.
But I like that...
I was upset with his voice. I was like, why is his voice so weird? Why is he overacting? Oh, he's Revenant. Cool.
You're like, oh, this makes so much more.
Everything is perfect now.
Yeah. So we go to Kate's house, formerly Mercedes' house, and Mercedes is back. Can we all agree that that was a surprise to see her back?
Only that I saw on Twitter some picture, so I wasn't really surprised. But I actually thought it was going to be in the last episode.
Stop spoiling things for yourself.
I know. Well, so many people are Erpercon, so I was like looking through that stuff. I was surprised of like, where is this going to go?
Same. I kind of was like, oh, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
So my feelings on this is that, yes, I remember when we first met Mercedes. All I could talk about was how Mercedes and Winona would be really, like, they're the
besties.
They are
yes.
perfect best friends, and I want to see the buddy cop with them. I want Mercedes more involved with Winona because their friendship was so weird and messed up and perfect for them. So then when she, you know, got her face taken, I was like, damn it, I liked her. And now the fact that she's back means maybe after we deal with all this bullshar, we'll get to see them together.
I like that the chat has similar opinions to mine of... Wait, where did we leave off with her? And, oh, she's still alive. And people going, wait, who was she again? Oh, yes.
Who was she again? How dare you?
Be like, wait, who?
There have been many more memorable characters since Mercedes.
Oh, no, I love my Mercedes. But I like the moment where Waverly's like, Winona didn't stop calling or something. And she was like, oh.
I really think that I like Mercedes being back. I think them playing up this, that she wasn't murdered by the widows, that her face was taken and now she's getting it put back on. I think that's so cute. And then in the end, we have a reveal that Waverly's angelic fingers.
We got a healer, everyone. We got a healer. I'm excited. If this was the apocalypse, we would have our team. Okay. We have everyone we need. Jeremy can find people, apparently. Let's circle back around to that later.
Remind me to talk about that. Waverly can hurt the Revenants with her angel powers.
Did he die?
She melted his face, but I think he's still alive. Yeah. I mean, he didn't go like back to hell.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we have with the ring going on.
I do wish we knew more what the ring could do. I don't think that he can. I wonder if the ring actually kills Revenants or just kind of like knocks him out, makes him. I don't think that Revenant is dead or underground or back in hell.
Right. I think he just.
But I wonder if she like focused that energy, if like it could, though.
That's a good question.
It also brings up the idea of, now that we know about her, the peacemaker turning blue. Yeah.
Well, Bam Lover brings up the point, is it her or a combination of her and the ring?
Mm.
Like, does the ring help channel her power?
Because when Doc had the ring, he came across Revenants, right, and didn't do that?
Yeah. So, I think it's what she can do with the ring.
Yeah. And then also, rewind on Mercedes real quick. Mm-hmm. Millie Cardin in the chat says, human Mercedes was defaced and widow Mercedes got shot by Peacemaker.
Thank you.
Good clarifications. I think it could be a combination. Like, I feel the ring could help channel what ability she has, because maybe she has an ability, but there's no way to, like, focus it. Like, like Harry Potter and you need a wand, like, to channel that energy.
Sure.
There's all the ads for Harry Potter on sci-fi. Yep. But,
yes, I'll take the Harry Potter reference.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about Winona and Doc in their hallucinogenic state. That is what I've called the rest of the episode. So they're making up and making love, although they can't remember. I don't know how she wasn't offended. You know what I mean? Like, you're literally naked in bed with someone, and they're like, did we just, I don't remember. You know, my response would be, get out of my bed.
True.
Well, I thought they said don't remember if it was more than once. Because he goes, it's twice. And then it was twice, right? So that was maybe my thought. Not necessarily that they had sex, but they
clearly you're having issues remembering the details of us making love.
I think that
2 seconds ago.
I think she was feeling not well. Like, she starts, then she starts saying, hey, my head is hurting, I'm having a headache. Like, I think this is not more like, do you remember the last time you said, like, it wasn't like that. It was more just like.
Is that your impression of me being upset that the person I made love with didn't remember that we just had sex?
No, I'm just saying, like, she wasn't angry. I think she was sick.
She should have been angry. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Heard.
Yeah, I'm upset that she wasn't upset.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, her head was hurting. They're walking through the forest. Well, I really loved the moment where we see the beekeepers and then Bulshar, because we hadn't seen that they were just sitting. Because in my head, I went, the beekeepers are just standing there watching them do it? That's so weird. But then I realized.
It's weird, but it's also very demonic behavior, so I wouldn't be surprised.
It just, I kind of wished that was the case.
No.
But it wasn't. Anyway, they are walking through the forest. And I think, did we feel like Peacemaker woke her up a bit?
Yes.
It did the, like, again.
Well, she said, ow, right?
Similar to the episode that I was referring to.
The baby one.
Yeah, where the peacemaker zaps her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, similar episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So when she wakes up, she comes face to face with Bulshar after she kicks some beekeeper butt.
Mm-hmm. Which was awesome.
Oh, I loved the flip. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. And then she used Doc to hold herself while she kicked people.
Mm-hmm. You know, use what you got.
This is great. Mm-hmm. He says, now you know our fates are linked, and you're resistant to my delusion, so I'll have to up my game. What did we think about this? Because this is the first time, but he says again later, our fates are intertwined. What are your thoughts on that?
That makes me think even more that they're the lovers that are referred to on the card, because they're chained to one another.
Mm.
Yeah. I go ditto. Yeah, and then I think that was the thing that was going around. I wish I had saved the picture, but on Twitter, people had showed the cards, and also
this one showed the cards.
Ah, okay, cool. And it just got also retweeted, so. The lovers don't necessarily have to be literal lovers,
right?
Yeah.
Well, so what's interesting is in my head, I was remembering our conversation about the lovers, and so when Doc and Winona woke up together after their forgetful lovemaking, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Amber was so right. But then when it wasn't, I was like, ah, I don't think, because also there is a Twitter account for Kate's cards and the pictures are not the same like yours.
They are quite different.
And so I don't know that we need them.
I also noticed, and I don't know that this matters yeah. too much because we already know that the tower represents Winona's gun, Peacemaker, but they did use two different tower cards in two different decks. So they use the Rider-Waite tarot card in the, which is like the traditional one that I showed mm-hmm. on the show last week, and also on Twitter, which is kind of like more like a cartoon. And then they showed another one towards the end of the episode after we learned Peacemaker was representative of the tower or vice versa. And it was like a little black smoky thing. So it was like, I think maybe Kate's deck or like a more mm-hmm. beautiful artistic mm-hmm. deck. And different decks can have different meanings. So I wonder if there was any reason for that or if they just wanted to show that it was like maybe more than one card. I don't know.
Maybe. So Winona finds out she's in this loop. She wakes up in Shorty's basement. She gets killed. She wakes up again, again, again. Doc is being projected onto the walls.
Love that so much.
Carrie?
Cinematically, I'm like, did you see that?
I agree.
Great art direction and like how they chose to do that. It was visually very interesting rather than just like a voice or something and then the different places. And then even at the end when she has a projection on her, mm-hmm. she's between the eyes and beautiful eyes. My goodness.
Oh, yes. There was some great eyeball acting.
Oh, yes. Mm.
I was into it. Mm-hmm.
I was all about those eyes.
Mm. a connection thing. Aurora O'Connor says, but I feel like there is a link between the Clooties and the Earps, maybe more family based.
Ooh.
That's a good thought.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. is a good thought.
The how they did that stylistically and moved it to different places made it visually interesting. It also kind of helped facilitate that, like, this is a new round every time.
Yes.
And then it was creepy when it was, like, back to one and he was saying the same thing again. And mm-hmm. then it's just like,
I felt her frustration that time.
Yeah,
same.
When, like, she was so, because she thought she'd, when you think you got so close and you have to start all over again.
Yeah. Being back to square one doesn't feel good for anyone. And I feel like whoever directed this episode, man, was really good because it made us feel what Winona actually felt. We were like, no! it was really a moment for all of us. We were watching, we were just like, ugh.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with the projections. And then we eventually find out that he's under the house.
Yeah.
And he's paralyzed, except for when she pulls him out and he's no longer paralyzed.
Okay, so this is something I asked Kara when we were watching it.
Yeah.
Could she not try to get the floorboards up when they figured out that she was pretty much above him anyway?
There's two things. One, she said, get a crowbar.
She needed
the crowbar.
And
then there was a shot of the floor that looked like it had claw marks.
Okay.
So it looked like maybe she had tried.
Because I was like, why wasn't that the first thing that they tried to do?
So I assume.
Is there another way to go under the house?
Yeah, so I also was like, girl, go outside, go into the house, but that was me. The other thing is I think it was, if we're looking at it in terms of a game, you have to get the crowbar to open the floorboards.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where I went.
Gotta get the item. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then she meets
Bobo,
yes.
I like the floor is lava. Alex goes, I love that they literally made the floor is lava. I did think that was funny too. Well, do you know the thing, floor is lava? She's like, no. Do you know that?
The floor
from the videos?
Lava.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the people on the internet are like teasing each other at the store anyway. Stupid people online.
So Bobo is also in the hallucination. It seems he has been there for a while.
Which explains why his hair is longer. Mm. At first, I was like, wait, where'd that hair come from?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the hair.
Oh. Mm.
I like
the mohawk.
Better. I can't. I love Bobo. This hair is bothering me and making me not love him.
Oh, no, it's short, spiky. I was thinking, well, it'd be cool if they did it more like back and shave the sides or something. And then, no.
I didn't notice his hair in particular. I just thought it was messy and to
the
side.
It's so long. The roots are like the same length as the hair.
Heard. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I love the mohawk. I like it when men are well-groomed, but he's been captured. It makes sense for him to look like crap.
Yeah, I get it. Just my personal preference.
So we want all the men to look beautiful, even when they're tortured. Got it. Heard.
Yes. Thank you. Finally. Ugh. So we keep having Winona die over and over again. She and Bobo keep dying. He keeps dying. Jeremy finally gets access to Parks and Rec security cameras, and he sees something bullshari, is what he says.
Yes.
Which is Bobo's nest, I guess. He calls Wayhot for backup. And then they question, what if the staircase is the entrance to the garden? We then find out...
And then don't go up them.
Yes. Wayhot and Jeremy can see the stairs, and later we discover that Winona cannot see the stairs.
Or just didn't.
Or wasn't by them.
But she was really confused the whole episode.
But maybe wasn't looking that direction or something.
So based on the way they ran...
Did we see her literally walk by it?
No. But based on the way that we... The setup of the scene, from what we as an audience could see, there are the stairs. And from the stairs, you can see where Winona and Doc were nested. So they should have, when they come out, been facing the stairs.
Well, they were semi-drugged and, like, out of it, so...
Yes. To be fair, it's possible that they didn't notice them.
I thought it was a cheap shot at herself of like, oh, only good people could see it, only the righteous. I was like, calm down.
But the last time that Jeremy saw the stairs, Doc came into the forest and he saw Bullshar. He did not see stairs. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So I think
maybe the lovers are Doc and Winona then.
I think they're trying to tell us that Doc and Winona can't see the stairs.
I think so,
for some
too.
Reason.
I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate of, well, you know, they were so messed up. It was, you know, maybe the next episode we could see a flashback of her slowly remembering the stairs. There's lots of things, but I think you're right. We're meant to understand that they both can't see it.
Which begs the question of why. I don't know if the righteous is the answer. But
it
I thought it
doesn't seem right. Although we are going in sort of like a heaven and hell theme this whole season.
True. Right. So that was my thought, was that maybe it's because Doc has been to hell.
Yeah. And he's now a vampire.
Fun
so
theory.
He's undead.
Yes.
ABK88 says, because the unkillable, I'm so sorry. Because the unkillable gay squad is pure of heart.
I also was like, maybe it's because they're gay. I would love that.
Carol also says, I think only the ones with a pure heart can see the stairs. And then Seb Russ just said what you said. Maybe only gay people can see the stairs.
Winona has a pure heart.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What makes her not have a pure
heart? So that was where my head was at, was is it that Doc can't see it because he's been to hell. And Winona, I wonder if she is destined for hell.
I don't think
that was my thought. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out. All right.
Robin also saw the stairs, but...
Yeah.
But he falls in the gay category.
That's what I'm saying. Gay people.
Mm-hmm. And Robin also is kind of like... He's not evil, but he's not pure heart either.
He's like a innocent. That's it's like, what's the thing?
A pawn.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, where was I? Winona and Bobo kill each other. Waverly wakes Bobo.
Also a really great shot, too. And I saw that on Twitter, but out of context, it didn't matter. I know.
I'm done. You're not allowed to go on Twitter before you watch the episode. Rule.
But Winona and Bobo together with, like, the black circle around them did look beautiful. I love that lighting.
Oh, the shadowing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a really beautiful shot.
The whole episode, very beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Really aesthetically appealing. Mm-hmm. So Bobo says that Bullshar is in their mind and that he wants revenge. Mm-hmm. That is what we have. There's this really touching moment between Doc and Winona where she asks him, are you sure this isn't hell? And he says that it isn't because in hell he was alone. Mm-hmm. And then she says,
we're not even done.
Then she says, I never gave up on you, Doc. I wish you hadn't given up on me. And he said, I would never. Mm-hmm. Not on you. Not on our daughter. I was like, oh my God, I love them so much.
Even when they're apart, they don't give up on each other.
So cute.
Yep.
So she gets Doc out. She goes to shoot Bullshar. And he says our fates are intertwined again, which gave me a total crazy theory that I will save for predictions. they walk through the red door. They think that they're out.
That door is... Can we... Okay.
Yes.
I don't know that I would walk through the red door. It's scary looking, you guys.
Or I was like, can't they open it, at least take a look before they go in? Apparently I like they not. Open and go right in.
So my thought when they went in was like, go in together, hold hands, because my thought was they'd go in and get separated.
Yeah, that's a good
game. I thought maybe she could leave, and like she was kind of the magic that could leave, so I was like, hold hands. Yeah.
Yeah. They start all the way over again, but Bolshar offers her a way out. He wants Peacemaker because it is the tower.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, Wynonna, it seems, has given Bolshar Peacemaker.
So, it is not literally said, but heavily implied.
Well, so when she's sitting there in the nest, it is not in her holster.
Yeah, no, I know it's not there.
I didn't see
it. And I know that she thinks that she did it, but she didn't. But it just seems so not like Wynonna to not have a plan and to give in that easily.
So when they were in I know I saw some people in the chat earlier talking about how when she was in the mind, the idea that the peacemaker she gave in the mind is not the real peacemaker and that he could bring it to her, but he couldn't touch it. And so I think the theory is, or at least my theory is, that she must give it freely to him.
Yes.
And that... He can't.
Not in the mind, though. In the physical realm.
In the physical realm.
Okay. Would the purpose of all this be just to break her spirits, which clearly worked?
Yes. That was my thought.
I could buy that. Because that confidence she had is, like, sapped.
But I don't know that I believe that that Peacemaker is the tower. I don't know that.
Can it be more like a key? Like, right, not literally like a tower, but it's the connector?
Yes. So I definitely thought of it more as of a key and that maybe he doesn't even need it, but or that he like wants it just to so that she can't have it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Those are my thoughts. It sounds like, though, we might be it might be time to head into predictions. But before we do that, let's decide who our MVP of the episode is.
Mm.
Woo, there it is. What are you thinking, Amber?
MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy with superpowers.
I really appreciated that they explained last episode that he can sense when his friends are scared.
I was really impressed that Carrie remembered that because I didn't. And I was like, how does he know? And she was like, it's because he can tell when he was. And I was like, oh, well.
I did just watch the other episode right before it. But still.
I also remembered from last week.
I well, love he also when leads shows to do charge. This.
Right.
My vote would be for Jeremy.
I really like that. My original vote would be for Doc, just because I feel like he suffered the most this episode.
Mm-hmm. It's not what an MVP is.
But I don't think that's an MVP. So MVP.
You're going with Jeremy as well?
Jeremy. For help. For asking relevant questions when in a hurry.
Yes, oh, that was a thing, too. As a cluster, they're all asking Bobo dumb questions in terms of, like, trying to solve it.
Waverly and Bobo were both driving me crazy with, like, questions that don't matter. How about, hey, where's Wynonna? How about, hey, is she still in the barn? Can you show us where he is, Lassie? No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Interesting.
So frustrating.
I thought that Waverly was the MVP.
The chat agrees with you.
Thank you. So interesting. Our two MVPs, Jeremy and Waverly, tied?
Sure.
How interesting.
You guys, you can't pick Waverly every episode.
Who did we pick last week?
The chat always votes Waverly.
Yeah, but we picked Kate, right? Yes. Kate gave us the most information last week.
Yes.
Kate and then got one honorable vote mention for Doc. To the Stone Witch.
Yes.
Mercedes, because she's back.
No, Mercedes couldn't be because she only is healed up because of Waverly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The healing was Waverly. Cool. I'll give it to you. The healing was cool. We're allowed to give Waverly MVP for being a healer.
Okay.
Jeremy spots the problem, rallies the team, leads the team, and
I'm getting
and has superpowers.
I get that I in the chat think it's Waverly, but I am being overruled by two to three.
Jeremy does a good job too of like learning her.
Jeremy
ability.
Is the MVP, and Waverly is Miss Congeniality.
Yes.
There we go. I'm like mixing my metaphors because I don't understand how MVP works.
She's the runner-up.
I just realized we were mixing football and pageants.
Yep.
That's great.
That's okay.
Sports.
I don't football. Wonderful. Let's head into predictions.
Now,
there are no lights. Oh, there are the lights.
Totally interesting one that I hadn't thought of. I was like, Okay. In the chat, Ring King says, it'd be funny if Nedley's an angel too, and he can kick ass, but just pretends to be a weak human.
I like it.
Sure. I feel like Nedley would have been of use before, if that's true. Nedley is surprisingly sharp and surprisingly useful. So I think even though he's old and tired and all of the things, and not as sharp as he used to be, if he had something to give, he would have been. Like, that's why we like him so much.
Mm-hmm. I had a prediction that I told you to remind me.
Yes, you have a prediction that you're very excited about.
Yeah, what was it about?
Did we want to circle back around to...
Oh, the fates being linked. I bolded it in my notes. My thought is the only way to kill Bolshar is for Wynonna to die. Their fates are linked.
I know. When he said that, I thought she had been shot in the chest. Mm. Because he was like, you've been shot in the chest. And it was kind of like an old little mark here. And I was like, I don't know what that's about. Yeah. And so I thought she would start bleeding from the chest. But I was very weirded out by the end of the, I have to let you go now. Walk freely through the door. I was like, I'm so creeped out. This is so wrong. What's wrong?
The other thing, too, is Doc felt it when they killed Constance. And they shot her last episode. Too, so like feeling the other thing, but he didn't die, right? When they killed the Stone Witch, when she Wynonna finally shoots her, Doc Felty woke up at the bar and was like, but luckily he's immortal, so he didn't die. So building upon your theory of feeling it, but the question is, can we have a Buffy thing and she'll come back and it's okay?
I mean, I assume that she won't actually stay dead.
Yeah.
If that is the way that is. I think there's gonna be a like, this is the only way, and then we find another way. Something like that, where their fates are are intertwined.
I got to tell you, I'm stumped on this episode. I don't have a good prediction because I am so upset about Peacemaker and Wynonna acting as if she really was fooled by those screaming voices in that video game area. I was like, this is not like Wynonna. She has to know better than this. So I'm kind of like, no, this didn't really happen. But I don't have any predictions because I'm just so ready for the next episode.
But I don't think that she was fooled by the voices to think that they were actually in danger. I think she was fooled to believe that she'd have to keep doing this.
Maybe.
That said, I
just thought with all the things she had gone through and knowing it's not really real...
I thought she would remember that.
She gave in.
May I tell you what's in the promo for next week?
Not yet. Building upon a theory in the chat, Daniela Garcia says, I think the way to end Bullshire could be a combo between Peacemaker and the Ring. I would love if it was something between Waverly and Wynonna. It would have to do something
that
together.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Or maybe Peacemaker can kill both Wynonna and Bolshar, and the Ring can bring Wynonna back.
Yeah.
Dang, yes.
I like that.
Yeah. We have a healer, people!
In the promo for next week, Bobo is in a glass cage similar to the one that I think we put the goo lady in at the Black Badge Division in the police station. I think it's supposed to be like a jail cell, but it's made of glass. Anyway, and to Waverly says, he's coming. Wynonna says to Charlie, he turned people into trees. That's pretty ingenious, actually. And Charlie goes, are you fangirling over a bad guy? And for those Lost Girl fans, it looks like Anna Silk is finally making her appearance.
Everyone's talking about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The chat is blowing up about her.
She's Bo.
Bo, okay.
She's literally the succubus. She wears the tight leather vest, and she sleeps with the doctor and the wolf and the everybody.
Oh, no, I watched the show. This was like, I didn't remember her real name.
Oh, yeah. Anna Silk plays Bo Dennis. Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm also excited. In case you didn't catch
Everyone's excited for next episode.
Yes. Thank you all so much for joining us. Until next week, Amber, where can everyone find you?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and keep the conversation going there at Amber Plaster.
And you all can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. Thank you so much for everybody joining us in the chat who was able to. If you watch it later, please comment down below. Quick couple names. We got Victoria, Charms, Christina, ABK88, Casket Fan, Carol F, Aurora, Bam Lover, Millie, Jamal. And I know there's more, and I'm sorry I can't squeeze read up fast enough. But thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YaelTYGIEL. And we will see you next week.
See ya.
executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments and questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.